This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Susan Stamberg.
This election's not about what we're against. This election is about what we're for.
I want to balance this budget. I balance budgets. That's what governors do.
I know what it means to grow up poor. I know what it means to have a dad or a mom in a labor union.
This is about the people of Iowa who make up their minds, many of them in this last week.
Democratic candidates John Edwards, Howard Dean, Richard Gephardt, and John Kerry campaigning in Iowa in preparation for the January 19th caucuses. Joining us to review the week's news, NPR's senior news analyst Dan Shore. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Susan.
Tell us how important these caucuses are, do you think, for the Democratic candidates who are doing all that campaigning out there?
Well, they are the first big test of whom the Democrats consider to be electable, not necessarily whom they like best. There's been an unusual amount of anti-Bush animus growing among the Democrats. It's not always decisive, but it is a big leg up for any candidate if he wins or comes in as a surprise. 1972, Senator McGovern became a factor in the election with a surprise second-place finish in Iowa that hurt the front-runner, who was then Ed Muskie, you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Carter emerged from the pack in Iowa, went on to win nomination and election. Can also hurt a front-runner, like if he turns out to do less well than expected.
Yeah, yeah. Meantime, Wesley Clark and Joe Lieberman decided they would skip the Iowa caucuses. They're putting their attention to New Hampshire. Is that strategy working?
Well, we'll soon know after we see the New Hampshire primary. One has to say that after Iowa, not having participated, makes this a little bit more uphill for both Clark and Lieberman.
Yeah. Taking up space now, Dan, as we usually do, President Bush talked about a plan this week to set up a base on the moon by 2020 and eventually to send a man or a woman, I might add, to Mars. And all that's going to take a really major technological advances. It could cost $500 billion, but apparently will not require the Hubble telescope. It's being retired. This vast new plan seems to have taken a lot of Americans by surprise.
Well, leaving open the possibility that they need more space because Guantanamo is too crowded. I'm sorry about that. It did come as a great surprise because there was very little public opinion preparation for this. Maybe President Bush was doing it as a gesture to his father, who way back in 1989 directed NASA to prepare for a human landing on the moon by the year 2020. This is an initiative for Bush which is on the cheap, because he doesn't pay for it. The expenditures for this lie well down the road past Bush's term in office. So why is he doing it? Well, I hope you won't consider me unduly cynical or suspicious, but this is an initiative which in the first place benefits two states, Texas and Florida. A lot of electoral votes in those states, and a brother.
Let's shift to international news now. Iraq, of course. The chief administrator there, Paul Bremer, is in Washington this week, and he's talking with the various officials in the administration about an exit strategy now.
Yeah.
June 30th, the deadline. Bremer wants to give up political power, turn it over by then. How feasible is that date?
Well, it at the moment doesn't look too terribly feasible because of the trouble that they're having with the Shiites, who are 60% of the population and want to have a decisive voice in the new government that's being formed, a decisive voice that the United States is not interested in giving them. They want to have a greater balance. And so now with the Shiites threatening demonstrations, there has to be a way that they can sell the Shiites and something that will provide a better balance with the Sunnis and the Kurds in the government. Always remember what's politically at stake here is, as you suggested, that there has to be a government to hand over power to by June 30th, July 1st, or the United States is going to have trouble bringing its troops home, and that's going to be right during our election campaign.
Yeah, and what about trouble amplifying the troops, broadening them? Bremer is going to go to the UN on Monday to ask for help there in getting the transition on track. Is the UN interested in going back to Iraq?
They're interested in going back to Iraq if it's safe for them to go back to Iraq. Mm. There was a bombing which hurt the UN very badly. But in this case, what is quite remarkable is that the U.S., having for so long spurned the UN as a pain in the neck, now is apparently feeling so desperate about the situation that it is going, that Bremer is going to see Kofi Annan on Monday and ask for his help. What kind of help? To find some kind of a bridge between the American plan for rather indirect elections leading to a government and the Shiite plan, which is to say, let's have elections for parliament right now. If the UN can find a way to bridge that, I think there'll be some eternal gratitude from the administration.
Mm-hmm. The New York Times reports a document found in Saddam Hussein's briefcase when he was captured has a warning to the resistance fighters of Iraq to be wary about joining forces with foreign fighters. Now, if that is the real thing, doesn't it call into question what the Bush administration says, that most of the violence in Iraq is caused by foreign fighters?
Yes, I think that's right. I mean, it certainly is one more argument, there have been very many, that the administration figured it all wrong when they considered Saddam Hussein as part of an international conspiracy. He was enough conspiracy all by himself. And if even after his defeat, he warns his followers, don't get mixed up with all those jihadists and so on who are coming here. If that is an authentic document, it is one more indication that the planning, on the basis for the planning of this thing, was wrong.
Mm. Such a sobering note among many this week in the news. The Pentagon concerned about the increased suicide rate of our soldiers in Iraq. This is a side of military life that you really don't hear very much about.
Well, nor does anybody in the Pentagon want it to become a very big issue.
Right.
There are apparently some 21 or 22 suicides among the 500 or so Americans who have been killed so far. And talking about suicides adds pressure to the U.S. administration. In the Thanksgiving trip that he made to Baghdad, the president promised that American forces will stay until the job is done. That at the moment seems to look like 100,000 troops or so for at least the next 2 or 3 years, and I'm sure they would like to find a way out of that situation.
Mm-hmm. There's been a much-discussed new book out now presenting the views of the former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill, saying that the administration was planning a regime change in Iraq long before the September attacks. How damaging is this for the president?
Well, I don't know. O'Neill thinks that the president was not very smart, that he was very disengaged, used some peculiar phrases about the fact that he was like a blind man among a bunch of deaf people, mm-hmm. and so on. I don't know how damaging that is. I think that is damaging enough, I suppose, to raise this question. If O'Neill thinks the president was not very smart, then one must say that the unsmartest thing he did was to appoint O'Neill to the Treasury.
Yeah, speaking of appointments now, Dan, let's talk about the Pickering affair. It has to be a good weekend for Charles Pickering. The president just named him to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, overriding for now the Senate Democrats. The president complaining that party politics are blocking his nomination. You think the Founding Fathers could have come up with a better way to appoint judges?
Susan, when the Founding Fathers wrote our wonderful Constitution, there weren't any political parties. That puts the whole thing today in a different light.
Yeah. Meanwhile, some Enron decisions concerning Fasto and giving probably some worries to Ken Lay and the others. Alas, no time for this, I'm afraid.
No time for this.
I'm afraid.
Ken Lay will be around.
You betcha. Thanks very much. NPR Senior News Analyst Daniel Schur.